Well, we now worship the Lord with a consecutive reading of His Word. And in the mornings, our readings are through the New Testament. So please turn with me this week to Luke chapter 15, our reading for this week. Luke 15. The previous chapter closes with the words, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." And so this chapter opens with the tax collectors and sinners drawing near to hear Jesus. But this was met with complaint and accusation from the scribes and Pharisees. They did not like the fact that he welcomed this low class of people to hear his teaching. They didn't like the fact that Jesus had contact with those that were termed sinners. So our Lord sets forth three parables in this chapter calculated to teach his accusers that their lack of interest in these people differs greatly from the interests of heaven. While they would push sinners away, God seeks them. And while they would chafe under sinners gaining some interest in God, heaven would rejoice for any one who repents. And to make his point, our Lord tells them the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, the parable of the prodigal son. Let's briefly scan topically through these parables and note some things that the Lord is saying. First of all, let's consider the description of people before they repent. Like a sheep separated from the flock in the wilderness, that person is lost. Separated from the flock, separated from the shepherd, and all that implies, and unable to find his way back. He's hungry, he's thirsty, he's confused. In short, he's in grave danger. Like the lost coin, the person before he repents is in the dark and in the dirt. Like the prodigal son, he's unwilling to be governed by his father. He runs from his father. He wastes the resources given to him by his father. He experiences famine. He seeks help from someone other than his father. He wishes to eat things that would never satisfy him. He was destitute, and he was beside himself. As the father later said, he was dead. Before a man repents, these parables tell us that he's in a desperate, helpless, and very dangerous state. Well, let's flip this on its head and consider what we can learn about God in his activities toward unrepentant sinners from these parables. Like the shepherd who has lost one of his sheep, God pursues the lost sheep until he succeeds. When he succeeds, what does he do? He rejoices. He rejoices and brings it home. He calls others to share in the great joy. Like the woman who lost one of her coins, he shines his glorious light where it had not shined before. He cleanses. He seeks until the end is achieved. For God always succeeds when he draws sinners to himself. Again, he calls others to share in that joy. We see joy being spoken of in all of these. Like the prodigal's father, he gives talents and resources even to those who run from him. And he provides plentifully for his household, though famine rages elsewhere. He watches intently for the first movements of repentance, and he receives his penitent son with compassion and with mercy. He doesn't meet him with rebukes and with lectures, but rather with embraces and kisses. And he covers his son's filth with the best robe, reminding us of the spotless robe of Christ's own righteousness that's given to the believer. He forgives him. He gives his son great honor. He celebrates his return lavishly with great joy. In all of this, we see that God's saving activity in bringing lost sinners home And we see his rejoicing over every single sinner who repents. And while it's clear that salvation is totally a work of God, man also has a responsibility to see the wretchedness of his own condition, to turn from his sins, and to return home to his Father. Far be it from God to regard all notorious sinners as the scribes and Pharisees did. They would selfishly and self-righteously consign them all to hell for not keeping their man-made traditions. They would cast public scorn on Jesus for having anything to do with them. However, this was the very purpose for which Jesus came, to seek and to save that which was lost. He was sent to bear the iniquities of the lost sheep who went astray. And as he achieves his purposes, he does so one sheep, one coin, and one child at a time. And he does it rejoicing greatly with each conquest. What a Savior we have. What joy to our own hearts that God saves sinners, even us. And he does so ungrudgingly. He personally delights to do it. Blessed be God's holy name for this. Please read with me, follow with me, I should say, as I read Luke chapter 15. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice for me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice for me, for I have found the piece which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Then he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided to them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country and sent him into the fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, "Your brother is come, and behold, he has received him safe and sound. Your father has killed the fatted calf." But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father, "Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours came, who has devoured your living with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." And he said to him, "Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word.